Hey everyone, welcome to the Drunken Whalers, a podcast where we get drunk and talk about Dishonored. I'm Claire, and I'm joined, as always, by Sarah.
Hello!
Hi! I actually have cider again.
Yeah, I heard from Linda that you guys were buying cider, so I was very excited.
Yes, I have green apple cider.
I also have green apple cider!
Oh my gosh, wow!
Wow!
Look at that!
We match.
We Mine's do match.
Like very pale. Anyway.
I can't tell what color mine is because it's in a dark brown bottle.
Well, there you go.
So, all right. I don't have any notes. So, like,
I know. I was like, maybe I should write something up. I didn't write anything up. So this will be a fun. We just talk about Dishonored.
We do this every time. I know. Like, oh man, we don't have any notes. We're not gonna have anything to talk about. And then like our wrap up episodes are like 3 hours
long. Yeah. And then, but we can't spoil every game because all the games are done.
That's true. No, we did it
except for the Veil Terror. There's nothing to spoil from the Veil Terror.
And also, I've not read it, so I can't.
Well, I have. Spoiler alert, it's fine.
All right. Where do we even begin to start?
With Death of the Outsider?
Yes.
That the Outsider was great, and I love him?
Well, I killed him.
Okay, well, that was fucked up of you. Do we want to talk about how that was fucked up of you to do?
I thought it was perfectly fine. I've always wanted to kill a god.
All right, well, and, you know, ruin everybody else's lives about it?
We don't know that everyone else's lives got ruined.
The ending clearly implies that they're unhappy.
Okay, but, like, Dishonored as a franchise also clearly implies that they're unhappy.
I'm just saying it's very clearly a character choice that she's making, and it's the tragedy version where she fails to, like, change as a person if she kills the Outsider. I'm just saying.
I mean, I guess that's true. It just doesn't really, like, I don't think this game was as well-written, like, thematically as the other ones, so it, like, hits less for me.
I feel like it was better written thematically than Dishonored 2.
Okay. I mean, I think Dishonored 2 is fine if we ignore that the central point of the game was, like, we should let monarchs be back in power.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the concept of, like, oh, you didn't pay attention to things, and, like, who are you if you do bad things, that's all fine.
And okay, like, I think I just like the themes of Death of the Outsider better than you do.
I mean, I don't hate the themes. I don't think they're written super strongly.
Mm.
I mean, like, part of the setup is because I don't really like what's happening with Dowd, and I wish we'd gotten more of an explanation. Because it's,
yeah,
like, so out of left field. Like, it's plausible that this man could just basically come out after, like, 15 years and be like, no, I still hate the Outsider. It's like, okay, I get it. But, like, we don't get to see any of that.
I think that would be fun. Well, what I think would be fun is if, not to rehash this again, but if the return of Dowd was, like, about that, then I think that would be neat.
Yeah, I do. I do think that would be, like, much neater. But as it is, we basically get thrown into, like, a world where, like, obviously Dowd failed at changing as a person, and then it, like, never touches on this as a thematic event, even though, like, canonically, Dowd changing as a person is the event that made Billy want to be better.
Yeah,
I think it would be, like, pretty fucking, like, fucked up if the dude who's basically my father figure is like, I'm gonna do good now, and you're like, shit, me too, and then 15 years later, you're like, you didn't do that at all!
It's like, I feel like what affected Billy so much wasn't necessarily that he, like, became a better person, it was just that he, like, spared her.
I mean, I guess that's true. For me, it's always been, like, not about being a better person, but more, like, the choices you make personally have consequences.
Oh, yeah, and then he's like, actually, I don't think that anything I've done is my fault.
Right, and it's like, yeah, and it's, I don't, it's like a mishmash that I don't like, even though I like that the whole point of this game is, like, let's go kill the Outsider. Like, I actually really think that is so compelling, and, like, we're going through this whole thing, like, figuring out the Outsider's shtick. So it's like, I don't really know how to mishmash these two. But, I don't know, maybe if there could have been something where it's like, oh, if we kill the Outsider, Dowd will live.
Oh, and that, like, would be fucked up.
Wouldn't it be? Especially because even if you killed him, what, Dowd would not live.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
You just really like people dying.
And you don't?
I know. I'm just saying this has, like, come up multiple times today. Anyway,
it just, to me, it feels like a mishmash, and I wish there was a way we could have gotten, like, a whole situation about consequences, because Billy's interaction with killing the outsider is pretty one-sided. Like, she's mostly doing it for doubt. She doesn't really have, like, she doesn't care.
Yeah, a reason to do it herself. Right. Yeah,
I think that's fine, but it's, like, it would be more compelling to me if it wasn't just, oh, my old mentor showed up and wanted me to do this just because, but if it was, oh, my old mentor, who, like, had a profound impact on my life and the way I live it, is dying because of an outside influence, and I could change that.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see it as it's, like, she still feels guilty for, like, betraying Dowd, and so she's, mm-hmm. like, well, I have to do this thing that he's asking me to do because, like, I betrayed him and I still owe him.
Yes, and I like that. I do.
And, like, I feel like that, for me, that's enough for her to be like, well, guess I gotta kill him. I do think it would be neat if she, like, kind of glommed on a little more to, like, his worldview in that way, or if she was like, hey, actually, I've decided that it's your fault that Deirdre died, like, you're supposed to, like, protect the people on the street. Why didn't she protect me?
Good. Especially because we do get a little hint of that, where she's like, hey, everyone wants you to fucking talk to them and save us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that's only mentioned in that, like, one line. It's like, actually, that would have been so good.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think that would be fun with, like, all the kind of, like, Billy outsider parallels, where it's like, they're, like, kind of from the same place.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be awesome. And I think it can give, like, a really interesting bend to, like, when you learn that, wow, the outsider's also just a kid from the streets, Billy can be like, you are one of us. Why yeah. would you betray us like this? You understood us.
Listen, the outsider is doing his best.
No, he's not.
Okay, well, I think he's doing his best.
Yeah. I also really would have liked a chaos system.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this earlier. I think, in some ways, I, go back and forth about it.
I do, love the implications. Like, okay, well, you are not a major player in this game.
Yeah, so you're just, like, some dude.
Yeah, you're just some woman trying to kill a dude.
Yeah, and, like, I think, I kind of like that it allows them to be a little bit more, like, stable with Billy's characterization, which I think is also partially because she's, like, she was an NPC. And so right. I just felt, I liked her more as a protagonist than, like, either Billy or Emily, just because she, like, had more of a personality, like, out from the gate, and they also didn't have to be, like, either, like, at all times be like, well, you could be a nice person or, like, a murdery person. Like, there's just, like, a person that she is.
Right. I do agree with that, but I also think it would have been so interesting with the chaos system, because Billy is canonically someone who's murdered a lot of people before.
So many murders.
So, like, I also think that that would have been really interesting, because it's, like, you know, like, Corvo's, like, done what he's had to do in his line of work, probably, but, like, Billy is someone who consistently, like, took coin to kill people.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it would have been really interesting to see how that affects her actions when you get to, like, if you choose to do bad things, it's not something new for her. It's not, like,
yeah.
It's not a darkening of, like, her personality in a way.
Yeah.
So I think that would have been cool. But it's like, you know, for a game all about choices.
Listen, you can still make choices.
I think so. I mean, like, yes, you can. You can still make choices.
Yeah. I think, I think it would be fun. But also, it's like, I don't know. I also feel like at least to me, it's, like, the choice at the end, like, feels like it has more impact than, like, in the other games where it's, like, you did, like, because it is, like, at the end of the day, like, the same choice as, like, whether to kill somebody or not, but I feel like, whether to, like, kill Delilah or not is, like, not to me as interesting as, like, whether to, like, kill the outsider or not, just because, like,
yeah.
It felt more ingrained into, like, a choice that Billy was making versus a choice that the player was making.
And you're not killing, like, a villain.
Yeah.
Like, all the other people who, like, most people, I presume, just go and kill regents. Like, yeah, fuck that dude. But it's, like, the outsider is someone who's, like, completely enmeshed and entangled with worldviews.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's actually so interesting that you don't get the chaos system. Because you're saying, like, oh, like, you're not a major player here, none of the choices you make matter. And then Billy is making, like, the biggest choice that's made in the history of these games.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I don't know, I feel like
I like the contrast there. Like, I actually think that works well to not have that.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I do stand by it. I still would like to have the chaos system. It feels like, because the choice we're making at the end, that Billy is making at the end, is so, like, world-heavy, it feels less like, oh, you are not killing people, so you are a good person, or, oh, you are not killing people, or you're killing people, so you're a bad person. But it's more like, okay, well, like, every action you're going to make has consequences, and this one, no matter what I do, will change things.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that would have been nice, like, juxtaposed against, like, the fairly minor, like, world changes.
Since there's not going to be a plague.
Right. Yeah. No plagues allowed.
I would also think it would be interesting because, like, the normal chaos marker is, like, oh, there's more rats. But it's, like, rats are, like, a good thing in this version of the game.
That's true.
I think that would be interesting if, like, it was still, like, more chaos, more rats. And it was, like, well, this is helpful for me, actually.
Yeah, you're right. That actually would have been so interesting because, like, obviously the things that, like, Corvo and Emily choose to do are not necessarily within the best interests of the people of Dunwall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're pretty, like, standardly, okay, let's take down tyrants, but, like, not every decision they make is going to be,
it's fine when Emily's a tyrant.
Right, exactly. So, like, it would have been interesting to put that on its head and be like, okay, well, you might be making bad choices for, like, the upper echelons of Karnaca, but it would have been really cool to see how, like, oh, maybe that's an increase in black markets, which is good for, like, businesses in lower class because there's more protection or something like that. Mm-hmm. That would have been super neat.
I love our AU version of Death of the Outsider.
Now can I put some amnesia in here?
Fuck. Hey, listen, I'm sure there's, like, an AU where after the Outsider's alive again, he has amnesia. That would be whack.
I think that'd be boring.
Okay, well, fuck you. it is less fun than him like, having to be like, okay, well, I'm a person now.
Yeah, like, if you just woke up and you had amnesia and you used to be a god, but you didn't remember that, it's like, where's the fun? As a noted amnesia connoisseur.
Claire is the judge of all amnesia AUs, legally speaking.
I am. I think amnesia would be good.
Yeah.
How can I put amnesia in here?
I don't know.
My dad had amnesia.
I think that would be interesting. maybe I think he'd be less depressed if he had amnesia.
Probably. I don't know. He'd probably come around to killing the Outsider anyways.
Yeah, I think that's just lives in his soul.
Yeah. Once again. Dude.
He would probably just date him and get broken up with again.
Poor dude.
And then kill him.
Ugh. I weep because I'm like, man, the Dowd could have been so much better here.
Yeah, thankfully I don't care that much about Dowd, so it works out.
I do. I care about him.
I know that you care. I just think that you should be more stressed out about the fact that if you kill the Outsider, he lives in the void forever and never, like, goes into the light or whatever.
That's fine.
I think that that's bad.
I'm not gonna see him again.
Okay, but he doesn't know
peace
ever.
He's got friends in there.
Yeah, the fucking yelling people. His mom isn't there. He really wants to see his mom, Claire.
I don't think this man is gonna know peace.
Well, I think he knows peace if you save the Outsider. I think he's like, oh, you're right. Which, like, maybe it's a little much that you can, like, change his, like, deep-seated worldview of 20 years in one conversation, but it's a video game.
I guess so. I mean, he's just, like, killing a lot of people.
I know. Well, I mean, it's like, yeah. I just think that, like, lingering in the void forever with the fucking scary stone monsters seems bad. In my
opinion.
That's
just because you're scared of them.
Yeah, they're so fucking scary.
What if they were friends?
They are pointy friends and I still hate them. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think another thing I really want from this game would have been more NPC interaction, because besides Dowd, you really don't talk to, like, anyone. And
you
I was
talk
depressed.
To Sinfugus's, you talk to Sinfugus's daughter, then that's fun, because they're dating, I've decided.
Oh, congrats to them.
Congrats. I think that Emily should have been in this game, even though that wouldn't make any sense, so that they could talk.
Yeah, it's like, I get thematically yeah. why there's no one there, but I was lonely.
Yeah, I feel like that was also probably, like, they were, like, I feel like this game was, like, intended to be, like, smaller, and they probably didn't have, like, a lot of money.
I mean, I think that's probably true. It's just, like, parts, like, the parts of Dishonored I have always really liked the most are seeing, like, you know, the really minor
yeah.
interactions. Which is why I liked that, like, you know, your actions still had influence.
Yeah, or yeah, mm-hmm. I wish, like, it'd be nice if, like, the contracts, if you actually had to, like, go back and talk to someone about them.
Yeah, uh-huh, or, like, actually, I do wish, like, the contracts had a little bit more detail, because some of them are so wild. I'm like, can I talk to you about
yeah,
this?
Hey, Mr. Person Who Wants to Kill This Mime, you good? You good, dude?
Or, like, I wish there had been a way sometimes to interact with the contracts, like, if I'd gone to kill the mime and he'd looked at me and be like, oh, are you here to kill me? I'd have been like, sir? Like, God, I think that would have been really interesting.
I hate that fucking mime. it's so hard to kill. Hey, listen, you've got, listen, there's Blood Club. There's fucking, I actually really love Blood Club. I hate it.
I do love Blood Club. But I do love Blood Club. I actually really, really enjoy all the weird cult nonsense.
Yeah, I think that is, one of the things that I really like about this game is that it, like, is just so on the nose about being, like, the rich are literally stealing poor people's blood. I think that it's fun when the game is just like, listen, this is about capitalism.
I do. Like, that's one of my favorite parts of the game. I really do like that.
And also the stuff where they got, when they're, like, trying to see into the void, like, by killing people, like, exsanguinating people.
Right.
I love it when they, like, get into so the neat. Weird connection the void has with death, which, like, I guess in this game they decided it's, like, the shitty afterlife, which I don't know if that was necessarily true before.
I don't know. I mean, like, because people have always been like, oh, I saw the void, but it's always been, like, sort of a toss-up for me whether or not they're actually seeing the void or if they're just seeing what they want to believe is the void.
Yeah.
But I did like Blood Club.
Oh, and fucking, Bloodfly Murderer Zone.
Yeah, that lady was fucked up.
I hate that fucking taxidermist. Or was it the taxidermist? Who was she?
No, it was the taxidermist. You're yeah. right. She was taxidermying.
God. Bad.
So I really liked all those details. I know. I liked seeing the Oracular Sisters.
Yeah, I like seeing them. I wish that mission was more fun.
I know, it's a really boring mission, and I'm like, I could be having so much fun here.
But I do like that you could, like, pretend to be What's-His-Face and, like, go talk to her. And they are cool, even though I fucking hate fighting them with their fucking billy clubs.
Yeah, I like the whole, like, aesthetics around it, though I just do not understand. And I have no idea what they're going to do now that the Outsider is dead. Like, y'all fired?
Well, that is the one thing that was interesting.
Can we fire a nun?
And, well, the fucking, all the, okay, here, like, here's my thing, is, like, what this does to the, like, socio-political order of the world.
Cause right?
Because, spoiler, the Veiled Terror doesn't talk about this. The Veiled Terror is about, like, oh, the foundations of the world are shaking. It's like, okay, what happens when the god that your cult is dedicated to hating isn't real? Because they're not going to admit he's not real, because that's bad for them.
So, and also, they, like, have political sway with the Empress. Like, you can't just get rid of them, even though the man is, or the Outsider's not a man, but he's dead. Or
well, he's
alive.
A man now.
Either way, he's not chilling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that, I think, is interesting to think about, and they're never going to make any more of these games, so we're never going to know.
I know.
But
not
also,
that I think they would have addressed this, but
I know. They're not that interested in the sociopolitical, like, anything. But no, there's like, that one note from, like, one of the Oracular Sisters where she, like, foresees the Outsider, like, either dying or, like, getting whatever person.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she, like, I don't know, I found her response to that interesting. Like, she didn't seem, like, upset about it, but, like, she also did, like, well, it's like she was like, oh, some of the sisters are, like, excited about this because they're like, oh, hell yeah, kill that guy. But she's like, I don't know, this is a little worrisome for, like, I think probably, like, maybe this is, like, because the world is gonna, like,
change,
slightly fall apart
irreparably.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, I feel like that stuff is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they really just put it in there. They're like, hey, what about the eye of the dead god who came before? And you're like,
oh yeah, what's up with the dead god?
What?
That never
what dead god? And it's actually, what if that dead god billions of years ago was killed by someone and they're like, oh shit, we need a new god. And now that Billy's taken the outsider away from that, a few years from now, someone's gonna be like, oh shit, we need a new god.
I mean, I think that, like, that would be really interesting to me because it's like, building off the idea of, like, there's these, like, cycles of, like, people hurting each other.
Yes, and, like, needing something to, like, claim and, like, building up something that they think it's okay for. Like, that's fascinating.
Yeah. That would be fucked up.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, this game is just... Oh, my God.
What?
My computer just went to sleep.
Oh no, wake up!
It did. It looks completely fine. I guess it's not upset with me.
It's just sleepy.
Like, bitch, me too, but we all gotta do work. I don't know. I think I would have been so happy with this game if Down had just been slightly better. Or if I'd gotten slightly more.
Or if you were blessed to care less about Down.
Yeah, well, that's not realistic.
Yeah, that's fine. It's like, the thing that I find so compelling about this game is, like, the parallels that they do draw between Billy and the Outsider, and kind of, like, as people who, like, have been hurt by the world and so have continued to, like, hurt people in return and, like, making the conscious choice to stop doing that.
I agree, think is, like, and that's why I still want the chaos system.
Fair.
Like, I think that plays really well. But it's like, I do really love the parallels between that. And I really like setting Doubt up as someone who did fail to change.
To change, yeah.
Like, I think that's so compelling, especially if Billy goes on to have changed.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, because, like, if you do that, he's like, oh, you were always better than I was.
Yeah, or even, like, I mean, not that we know everything about, like, Billy's life when she was Megan Foster, but, like, you know, we can pretty much assume that while she wasn't, like, perfect, she kind of, like, kept to herself, stayed out of shit.
Yeah. Like, just chilling, being a smuggler.
Yeah, like, was a smuggler, so, like, not really on the up and up, but not out there actively hurting people. So I would really think it compelling if Dowd came back into her life and then dragged her back down.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the void, whether or not she made, like, if she decided not to kill the Outsider, he would say, like, oh, you're the best of us, like, I should not. Like, I was the one who kept pulling you back down. And if she does, like, he can express regret about the fact that she did what he could not. She did change.
Yeah.
And that he was the one who, like, reverted her, basically.
Uh-huh, then he could still wander in the void forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'd be interesting, like, if the beginning of the game wasn't her finding Doubt, it was Doubt finding her.
Mm-hmm. I also think, like, going back into the chaos system, it would have been a really interesting point of contention if she had chosen to go through, like, however she'd choose, like, if she had chosen to go through her missions not killing people, Doubt could have been, like, an antagonist against that, saying, like, you know, like, we're not changing, this is the Outsider's fault, like, we can't.
Yeah, like, that would be really cool.
I'm bringing you back down. Or if she did, like, choose to kill people, like, he could be, like, upset about that as well, because she was supposed to have changed, and now...
I think that would be really cool. I also think that your vision of this as a Doubt is never happy.
Yeah? So...
I mean, I think you're right. I just also think that's very funny.
Like, I think, obviously... I mean, he's not really that complex a man, but, it's, like, it's interesting to, like, set Billy up as a disappointment to him either way.
No matter what,
Of her, but because he is fundamentally, like, unhappy with the fact that he could not change. So if she does, that's a reflection on him and what he couldn't do, and if she doesn't, that's another thing he's ruined.
Yeah.
Like, I think that'd be good.
Claire, where's your Doubt fanfic?
It'll never happen.
Okay, well, not even if you give him amnesia?
Not even if I give him amnesia, though I am compelled.
Well...
Start writing a fic like that somewhere.
This would not surprise me. Check your Google Docs.
I'll check my Google Docs. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are my thoughts. I think we should have had a chaos system because I think it would have made me upset.
All right. Well, that is fair.
And then it sets up whatever you choose for the ending, because I always like how you can choose to do good things and still kill people, or you can choose to kill people and still not, like, kill the big bad. I think you can get a lot of really interesting complications, like, with that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if you don't kill people... shows. If you, like, don't kill people, but you're still, like, mad, fuck the outsider, though.
Yeah. It's, like, then that sets you up so, like... as doubts pride in a horrible way. Like, I think the game would and should frame it as, like, not great that she is that, but... or that if you are just horrible, then you choose to do one good thing, then it is, like, a pride in a good way, because doubts, like, you are still doing what I could not.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish Dad had been, like, a more complex father.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dad's, though.
I know. Terrible news.
Oh, here's my other thought. I think Aramis Stilton should have been in this game.
Okay, I'm listening. I'm willing to hear things.
That's mainly my hot take. Also, because I think it would be fun to, like, get into the, like, the world was wounded around you thing. Because, like, I feel like... I mean, I get into it kind of, but I always want to talk more about, like, how fucked up it was that, like, Emily canonically changed the past.
Changed everything. Yes, I agree. Like, it's so... It really fucked me up the first time I got back in the boat and she had her eye and arm again. I was like...
Yeah, that shit's so good, man. This game is good.
I wish this game had, like, gone full ham on it, because I was always so into finding the weird, like, hollows.
Oh, yeah, the hollows. Yeah, well, those are my favorite because the outsider talks to you, but also they're cool.
They're just, like, really, like, freaky in a weird way. It's, like, yeah, they're not necessarily scary, but you, like, do get the innate sense that, like, life has changed. You cannot ever get back what it was.
Yeah, and like, when you're, like, living
in this... It was irreparable in ways you don't know.
You're, like, living in this, like, weird, like, slipstream universe where you're, like, kind of caught between, like, what is true and what could be true. And it's, like, this is probably viscerally uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I am really, like, glad that they decided to go with that and keep that and even, like, found a way to tie it in to, like, the last mission. Because it's so neat when you get to go to the last mission and when you, like, retrack your steps, everything's changed because, like, you are connected now.
Yeah, and it's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but it's, like, I think that's a really neat way to do it because, like, if this had just been, like, oh, here's a game about Billy Lurk, I would have been the whole time being, like... But, like, what about the fact that her whole past changed?
Yeah, if they had ignored that, it would have been, like, unbearable, because it would be, like, excuse me.
It would have been so unbearable. So I'm, like, I'm so interested and, like, intrigued by the way that they've done this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, especially with, like, all the silver miners and everything, like, seeing these, like, same hallucinations.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, yeah, and the Veil Terror gets into this, like, at least a little bit, I think.
That's good. God, are they really, like, okay, I haven't read The Veiled Terror. Do they ever explain what's going on with the whole, like, time travel thing?
I think so. I don't think I really understood it, but it does come up because Martha shows up.
Okay, Martha, I miss you.
I know, and, like, yeah, and there's, like, a whole, there's some, I don't know, The Veiled Terror, there's some interesting scenes. I don't know. I read that whole book expecting the outsider to show up, but he never fucking does. So whatever.
That's so funny.
We can't talk about this right now.
I need to get the book.
Yeah, it's fine. I guess I'll have to read it again, which seems like a waste of my time. But I did read it like a year ago when it came out.
Well, this is your job, so.
Yeah, I know. I get paid so much money.
Yes, yes, you do. That's the.
I read a bunch of it at work at the time, so whatever. I guess
so technically, you did get paid.
Yeah, I got paid to read The Veil Terror. It's great.
Yeah. I'm intrigued, though. I know, obviously, our dear friend Adam Christopher. Is that Christopher Adam?
Yeah, it's Adam Christopher.
Okay. Our dear friend Adam Christopher will not do, like, a remote one-fifth of, like, the world-building or intriguingness that I hope.
I mean, I have a Twitter thread where it's, like, every time Billy and Emily interact, so at least there's a little bit of that.
That's good. God, because those are my priorities. Can you imagine Billy just showing up and be like, hey, got the outsider for you, and Emily's like,
okay, listen, I've read that fanfic.
Yeah, I'd read it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just, like, what I'm interested in is clearly not what they're interested in, because, like, what I'm interested in is, like, what the outsider's life is like if he lives.
Honestly, I am, like, not to betray my roots as an outsider hater, but, like, I am interested in that. The man's been a deity for thousands of years.
It's so, like,
does he remember how to eat?
Right, it's, like, it's so interesting to think about, like, being a physical person after you've been, like, a weird void god statue for, like,
especially
5 million years.
He's always been so intrigued with, like, playing around with humans, like, so much.
And now he's just some bitch. Yeah.
Like, he's really been out there for, like, 4,000 years not remembering how to understand that humans work and setting up his weird little, like, wax figurines. It's like, that's fascinating. Do you not want to hear about these things? Do you not want to hear about the fact that he probably doesn't remember how to do really basic stuff?
Yeah.
Like the comedy.
It would be very good. Everyone read my Outsider fanfiction.
Yeah, everyone read Sarah's Outsider fanfiction.
Yeah, I think the, like, sequel game to this where it's, like, the outsider, like, learning how to tie his shoes is very, very good, actually.
That's so funny.
He would be such a fucking weirdo. Like, that's just this, like, a guy who looks like he's, like, 30 maybe, who's just like, I don't know what pears taste like.
That's so funny. I love it.
And also, like, knows all the gossip about you probably.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I just feel like it would
be
like
so funny just if he kept going around trying to intimidate people, but now he's like 30 and, like, his eyes are completely normal and everyone's like, okay, dubious weird twink who hangs around noted murderer Billy Lurk.
Like, whatever. Like, is this supposed to be scary, sir? You're, like 5'7".
I could not imagine looking at the human outsider trying to threaten me and not being like, where's the Hot Topic you walked out of?
The outsider, actually, that's what he does after he becomes a person. He invents Hot Topic.
All right, well, that's pretty solid of him, and I will give him respect for that.
Thank
that
you.
To portray my roots as a Hot Topic teen.
Listen, we were all Hot Topic teens. Also, I think that Billy would like the... I think that Emily would also like Hot Topic. Actually, I think everyone could go to Hot Topic. Everyone in this honor is depressed.
I have a lot of really good things from Hot Topic. You know, we went to one.
I know. Yeah, I have my fucking Kingdom Hearts umbrella over there. I'm pointing at it right now.
I have 2 Sailor Moon shirts and a pair of pink sunglasses, which I still really like, that cost me $8, that you bought for me.
Oh yeah, I do remember that. Anyway, yeah. This episode is sponsored by Hot Topic. Hot Topic,
sometimes
please give us money.
We are hyping Hot Topic so much right now, and yet they still sell a single Dishonored shirt.
Yeah, what the fuck? I would buy it, man. I bought I didn't buy the tarot deck. I got my mom to buy the tarot deck for me.
That still counts. She wouldn't have bought it were you not her daughter.
I know. So I was at a con that, like, this past weekend, and, like, my friend, we walked by a booth, and my friend was like, oh, look, it's the Dishonored 2 art book. And I was like, don't worry, I already own it.
Oh! That's so funny.
Called out.
Oh, well, that's life.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Death of the Outsider.
I mean, there's less to say about this game, because it's really, like, it's the end.
I know.
We've changed the world irreparably.
I think it's interesting that they fucking are like, oh, Billy's gonna do the thing from the Wormwood Deceit, and then that never gets addressed anywhere ever again, except, I guess, in the Veil Tower, but, like, whatever. It's interesting to me.
Like, what were you planning to do there?
It's interesting to me that they, like, put that in the game, because it's like, let's be really, really honest, who read the Wormwood Deceit? Like, how many people read the Wormwood Deceit?
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you could have just ignored that.
Like, and everyone would just be like, I guess Billy does that later.
I mean, like, I still don't know why they chose to make her time travel in the Wormwood Deceit.
Well, she time travels in the Veil Tear, so. I don't, yeah, it's like, why does she have time travel powers? Actually, I mean, I guess because, well, I don't know. I guess
kind of weird, because, like, I get... The time travel in Dishonored 2 is so self-contained.
Yeah, it's like, here's this one time you can do it.
Yeah, it stems purely from, like, an arcane ritual of dark magic that's gone wrong. So, like, it really tracks that happens. But Billy's not, like, the center point of that. She's, like, She's like, you know, the blowback. She's the fallout. So it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's like, because, like, I don't know. I guess they're just like, whatever. It's all time travel.
Like, she can't, obviously she can't be the only person who was, like, unaffected by, like, the change at Aramis Stilton's manor.
Yeah.
Like, the man has servants now that he's not dead. So it's like, okay, well, that's a whole class of people who have different jobs.
Yeah.
And, like, all the silver miners are probably in better condition.
I know, like, the whole silver mining industry is, like, different
probably now. Different. Like, so it's not like she can be the only person, unless we're meant to assume that Karnak is just full of a lot of time-traveling silver miners.
I mean, that would be dope as hell.
I would be actually so into that. I think it'd be really funny. Tune in to catch my band, Time-Traveling Silver Miners.
Yeah. With your silver miner OCs?
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I assume that Billy's time-traveling ability has to stem back to that, but it's, like, so out of left field that I really don't enjoy it.
I think they were just like, let's do time travel, and then we're like, I guess we can explain this. But yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just not as interesting. I feel like the stuff they do with Billy after this is just, like, not as interesting, because, like, they kind of resolved her character arc, mm-hmm. and so it's like, okay, like, now what?
Like, if you're not getting into shenanigans with the former god of whales in the void, then, like...
Then what's the point?
He doesn't have a money. He doesn't have an identity. I know,
and this man cannot work a job.
Like, God, I... Sorry, just... The thought of, it's like, okay, like, in real life, would I probably choose to kill the outsider? No. But if you told me I'd have to be responsible for him, I absolutely would choose to kill him. It's like... I don't have time to babysit this dude.
The only genre of anything that's good is Billy Lurk babysitting the outsider.
It's so funny. I personally wouldn't do it, but I would read fic about it.
Yeah. I also think it's good if she, like, shows up back in, like, Dunwall and is like, hey, Emily and Corvo, I have this guy. Here you go. He is your problem now.
She's like, you know what? He actually didn't mark me, so that's your kid.
That's your... Oh, that is the other... Another question that never gets answered is, like, whether people who are marked by the outsider still have void powers, which I had to agonize over a lot when I was writing fanfiction about this, because it is not clear to me...
What did you decide?
I think I decided that they don't have them anymore.
I would agree with that.
But Billy still has powers. But yeah, because
I would also... I would agree with that as well. It's his name, and also it's like... The mark, I feel like, stems directly from the outsider,
mm-hmm.
whereas the arm and the eye that Billy has feel to me how, like, they stem more directly from the void.
Yeah.
Which, like, the outsider has influence over and is part of, but, like, is made very clear to us that that's not what he created or something, like, he is the
god
of.
It's
something
just there.
He exists within.
Yeah, and like, the whole of the ending, like, is like, oh, now there's no one to say who will and won't be touched by this magic or whatever, which I guess implies the, like, democratization of the void, except that ends up being bad, I guess.
Huh. I mean, like, yeah, that is really interesting. I would find it fascinating if, for all these years, the outsider had been the thing holding back the void.
Yeah, and now it's, well, because, yeah, and that's like, well...
And now it's leaking out, it's seeping, it's infecting the mines. And then I would find that really ironic, because all the overseers would be like, oh shit, fucked up.
I mean, it's
up,
like, I feel like that's, like, kind of the implication, is that it's, like, the ones who walk away from Omalos thing, where you, like, have to have someone in the void to, like, do this, but you have to, like, ritually murder them.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, well, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, and also, like, the ending of the game is, like... so vague about it. Like, it talks about how, like, you know, things like, oh, here's some hopeless things, or, like, you know, we don't have any choices. But it's, like, a really short ending monologue that has almost no scenes, whereas, like, in all the other Dishonored games, we've gotten, like, pretty extended, explicit scenes about what happens. The plague happens, the city falls into ruin, Emily is a tyrant, or, oh, yeah, Sokolov and Pierrot, like, make remedies, mm-hmm. and all the victims are saved. It's, like, it's pretty explicit about what happens.
Yeah, I think that is actually interesting, is that the ending, it doesn't show anything, like, outside the world. Like, it shows, like, Billy and the outsider, but it doesn't show, like, what the
anything
wider world
the
is
world.
Doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than, I guess the void's here now.
Right, yeah. It's, like, it's, I don't know, I... I kind of like it that way, and I kind of don't, because it's like, okay, well, like, on the one hand, there's, I don't know that you could even really show the implications.
Yeah.
Of this, but on the other, it feels like a cop-out not to.
Yeah, well, it's like, I guess it's like, on some level, it's like, I don't know what the void stuff really means, and I don't think they do, but I also kind of like it as, like, as a more, it's like, what you did was, like, save or kill, like, one person, and, like, that's what you did, and that's what matters. And, like,
I do like that, and I like the void staying as something, like, intangible, like, and completely ununderstood, like, the sort of, this thing is so big and incomprehensive to humanity sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think I would have been very happy had they shown just, like, really smaller level stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need the entire implications of the world as the whole. But, like, yeah. The felt from the ending monologues was that I wasn't supposed to really think about it at all, except for the way it affected Billy, like, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know,
like, that's,
like,
really how I felt.
Yeah. And, like, I think that's probably what they were going for.
Yes, I just didn't like it.
I know. But it would be interesting if there was, like, cut-ins of, like, the Oracular Order or something.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't even necessarily have, like, with the short scenes, they really can't show a lot, but it's, like, obviously, if the world is being shaken to its roots, show me a little bit more. Like,
uh-huh.
I don't know, a boy with a rat, the Oracular Sisters, something about Emily sitting on the throne and, like, not being able to use her powers.
Yeah, or, like, yeah, like, looking at her hand and being like, bitch.
I was just about to say that, looking at the back of her hand and being like, well, that's unblemished.
Well, that's weird. Fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't have expected them to go into this sort of thing, but it's like, it's really interesting to think about the implications of, like, Corvo had that thing for, like, 15 years.
I know, yeah, and it's like
he's
gone.
Fully accepted the fact that he's, like, has been touched by the void and is not fully human anymore. So that's so fascinating for me to think about. Like, that's so far-reaching, and, like, I do not and would not expect them to even think about talking about that, but, like, it's fascinating to think about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, after so long to be like, well...
Well, I am just human again.
Fucked up. How do we feel about them suddenly deciding that only dead people can read this old language?
I don't know. It's, like, a bit of a weird flex.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, I'm fine with it as just, like, oh, they had to, like, fuck... Like, they, whatever, they just need the plot of this to work. But I do think it's funny that they're just like, oh, yeah, obviously, like, that's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's, like, ways I could buy into it. Like, I think it's fine. Like, I don't have any, like, problems with it. I think it's, like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm completely willing to believe that there's something, like, about, like, being touched by the void when you're dead that, like, lends you a certain, like, elseness. I'm fine with all that.
Yeah,
but I do think it's super funny that this man has just, like, written that on his wall.
Yeah, very... Very conveniently. Well, it's like I never really, I guess I didn't totally, like, I never played this part of it before because I just watched the like, non-lethal mm-hmm. ending before. So, like, as I was getting to it, I was like, it's like Billy has to, like, kind of, like, contextualize it into, like, the mission objective, which I just think is very funny.
Yeah, I kind of wish there'd been a way she could have, like, come across this on her own so that it still felt like only people who've been touched by the void could, like, really come to this conclusion instead yeah. of some random philosopher dude in a cult.
Listen, sometimes you're just a random philosopher dude in a cult and you're dead.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I would have really liked it had it been, like, only people who've been, like, touched by the void.
Yeah, but then Billy could do it, which creates a problem.
I know.
Like, it like, and I do, like, I do like that they're like, well, you have to convince Down.
Like, yes, I agree. The thing with Down at the end is, like, very compelling and definitely one of my favorite parts of the game. So, like, I understand why they had to do it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a little ham-fisted, but, like, on the whole, I'm fine with it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think they needed to go the extra step of having that written on the wall. I think the guy could have just had an audiograph about it.
I kind of like looking at it on the wall because I was like, oh, I wonder what these other letters are.
Like, I like looking at it from, like, a linguistic standpoint.
Yeah, although I feel like if I knew more about linguistics, I would be like, this doesn't work.
It absolutely doesn't.
Good thing I didn't take any more linguistics classes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with the dead language thing. But, like, no, on the whole, I really liked it. I think the game worked well in a contained sense. I liked that we were, like, primarily dealing with either... Like, I liked that we were primarily getting to see the way this cult had, like, trickled into society.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the way down to, like, tattoo parlors and stuff like that. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. I think giving yourself a tattoo is fun when you don't have to.
I know. I also like that even though, so it's like, it's trickled down through society, but the people who are, like, involved in this cult in Karnaca are pretty exclusively, again, like, rich people. So it's
yeah.
like, even though, in a weird way, even though the outsider's influence has always, to me, been, like, clearly felt most by, like, the lower class, it's something that the rich are trying so hard to get, and something that's, like, just kind of like a daily faucet of life in the lower class, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, it's like the lower class are, like, the people, like, sailors are, like, the people who, like, have bone charms and stuff, and, like, witches are people who were, like, kind of, like... Like
on the fringe of society.
Yeah, and but it's like that it's like the people in this cult who are like in some ways like controlling the outsider who once controlled him are like all the people who are like yeah, like all the people who like run the banks or whatever. And like
it's pretty much like they're looking to cause problems for themselves.
They're looking to cause problems on purpose.
Like they have a really great life.
Yeah, but they just really want to drink people's blood, Claire.
Clearly. So, like, I do really like that setup where it's, like, okay, yeah. Well, even though we've mostly been dealing, like, you know, like, most of the people who were, like, had a problem in Dishonored 1 and 2 were lower class people who got, like, displaced by the floods or rat plague, and, like, that's not, like, directly the outsider's fault. It's, like, it's, you know, thematically his fault, but, like...
Listen.
But, like, it's just, it's a good setup that mm-hmm. I like. Mm-hmm. So on the whole, I would say good game.
Yeah, I'm into it, because it makes me emo about the outsider, which I think we've established.
I think so.
And also I'm gay for parallels and foils, and there are a lot of them.
I think that's also true and good.
And yeah, so I think that's good. I don't know, I think Dodo is, like, probably my favorite. Oh, we can do this. What's your favorite? We've played all of them.
Oh, that's such a difficult question. That is such a difficult question. Okay.
Huh. All right, well, let's all
are
sit
we including the DLCs?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Just to make it harder for you.
Yes, I'm seeing that. Okay, well, like, on a technical level, Dishonored 2 has the best, like, level design.
Yeah,
like,
agreed.
It's just the most fun to play. It's the most fun to replay. It's the biggest, and you can tell. So, like, on a technical level, Dishonored 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite to play is, like, a story, or is probably The Knife of Dunwall and Brigmore Witches.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's funny. I'm like, yeah, fuck you, Dad. Feel guilty. Like, narratively, that is a story I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
Like, how to... I guess, like, how to accept that you've done bad things and you'll always carry that, but that you can continue to make different choices going forward. Like, I don't think that Dishonored 1 hits those same beats, even if it still is the same basic premise about the choices you make.
Yeah, it's like, Dishonored 1 is, like, I think very surface level on those things, and mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I agree the DLC are more interesting.
Yeah, so those are probably, it's probably my favorite. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. I think it's Brigmore Witches and Knife of Dunwall.
Alright, fair enough.
And yours is Death of the Outsider?
Yeah, I think, like, okay, I definitely agree that, like, gameplay-wise, Dishonored 2 is the best, because, like...
Yeah, it's really not
It's just
question.
Fun. It's just a good game. but yeah, it's, like, story-wise, to me, like, the one that I come back to the most, and, like, spend the most time, like, thinking about is Death of the Outsider. I think, mm-hmm. like, partially because, like, I just think the Outsider is really interesting, and, like, I just really like, digging into, like, I don't know, like how weird he is in this game and how, like, he is asking Billy to save him, but he'll never actually ask her that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this game, like, does kind of know what it's about more than, like, all the other games kind of do, at least for me. Like,
I would agree with that. Like, I might not think it was, like, completely well executed, but I would agree that, like, it has a focus, it completely knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
Like, truly, like, if this game had changed, like, a few things, it would be my favorite. I just don't think it was strong because of the writing, but, like, that's not because it didn't know what it was doing.
Yeah, and I think definitely compared to, like, Dishonored 1 and, like, kind of especially Dishonored 2, like, which I think can feel, like, a little bit muddled, and, like, Dishonored 2, I think that's partially because they don't make you play as Emily, and I think if they made you play as Emily, it would be more focused.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
Yeah, I agree that, like, Dishonored 2, like, even though it's my favorite, like, technically, is probably, like, really not that much different from Dishonored 1 for me, like...
Except Delilah's there.
Like, Delilah's there, there's, like, a lot of cool stuff in it, but, like...
Yeah, it's, like, not as thematically, like...
As a comprehensive, like, thematic story, if I look at it with, like, lit major eyes, it's just not as strong to me.
Oh, I forgot you were technically a lit major.
Yeah, I'm technically a lit major. What did you think my major was?
I mean, it was, like, some weird specific thing, right?
It's writing, literature, and publishing.
Yeah, it's a weird specific thing.
It is, but it is a lit major. I took 8 lit courses.
All right, well, I did not take that many lit courses.
I took 8.
That's too many.
I agree. So yeah, like, looking at it with my lit major eyes, it's just not as strong or even as compelling to me personally, because I'm like, this is a story about a woman who lost power and wants it back.
Yeah, and I think part of, like, Death of the Outsider is, like, helped by, like, being about Billy, who, like, it's a story, like, Death of the Outsider is, like, interested in, like, class and, like, systemic oppression.
Yes, and, like, absolutely, I agree.
You can't really tell that story when you're, like, about, like,
when you're
someone
the Empress.
Who's from the top of society. Yeah, it's, like, you can't do that. Like, you can't really tell a story about the oppressed when you're playing as fucking Empress Emily Caldwin. It doesn't
right.
work.
Like, if Dishonored 2 had, like, turned on its head and, like, if the end goal had been, I'm going to depose Delilah, but I'm not going to go back and be the Empress... That would be a totally different and way more interesting story to me. But yeah, like, okay, well, I simply do not want a ruling class.
Yeah, it's like that one specific ending where you create this, like, weird council situation.
Yeah, like, exactly. I could have been really into that, but it's like, I don't buy into a good ending where...
It's like a return to the status quo.
Yes, exactly. Like, if Dishonored 2 had been a little bit more like Death the Outsider, where, like, yeah, you are learning that, like... People in power are rarely good, even if they're technically, like, good people or good parents or have never murdered anyone. Like, yes, you have murdered someone, you just didn't do it personally.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, if they turned it on its head and made it less about, like, a less simple story about I'm power, and then I'm baby, and then I want power.
That's my favorite synopsis of Dishonored 2. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
But, yeah, no.
Well, like, I'm not as interested in fighting to keep the status quo. It's like Dishonored 1 had, like, the nice, like, emphasis of, like, because there's, like, a child in the mix and, like, what that means. It stands apart a little bit because I do think Dishonored 1 is a bit more compelling in that way.
Yeah.
Because, like, Corvo's a bodyguard, has not really any political power. His motivation is still focused on his child.
Yeah, and also, like, everyone treats him like shit because he's from Karnaka.
That's true. Everyone's fucking racist.
Yeah.
So, like, probably Dishonored 2 and Dishonored 1 are, like, both down there for me.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just, like... Yeah, and, like... I don't know. I just think the death of... I like Death of the Outsider. I like The Outsider.
I mean, I do really like Death of the Outsider. It's really, like, a hard call to say. Like, it's probably second favorite for me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
When they release the DLC that includes all our comments in this podcast episode, then it'll be great.
When will they hire us to write Dishonored?
Fuck will they hire me to write their fucking tie-in novels?
You would do a much better job.
Yes,
I don't know
thank
how
you.
Those things got published.
Thank you. I mean, I think tie-in novels just be like that.
Yeah, but, like, did not one person there think, wow, what if things were good?
Apparently not.
Terrible news.
Terrible news that we have to read the fucking Veil Terror.
I know, I need to buy it. And I have to buy it on Amazon.
I know, it's cursed. Because there's nowhere else to fucking get it. Because, like,
there's nowhere else to get
Veil
it.
Terror.
I try so hard not to buy things off Amazon.
See, Dishonored, you know that capitalism is bad. I know that you noticed because you wrote a whole game about it.
It's
you finally noticed.
It's like so funny that they do so much, but like, oh, capitalism bad. Monarchy's probably good. Then we don't know.
Monarchy's good, and like also like fuck this like communist fake Russia analog that we like have a weird situation about. I can't think about the corroded man again.
I can't either. We can't do it. Fuck that.
Anyway.
I guess that's all there is to say.
I think, yeah, if I've forgotten anything, I'll be sure to talk about that instead of the Veiled Terror next week, because I don't want to talk about the Veiled Terror.
I do not want to talk about the Veiled Terror. Okay, wow.
Where can people find you on the internet, Claire?
Oh, thank you. You can find me at Surrealist Trees on Twitter. And the intro and outro music is Goosebeak Whale by Alps. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Every single time I forget that I have a Twitter, I'm like, where can the people find me?
Yeah, where can the people see you tweet about your untamed amnesia AUs?
That's what the people want.
It's what I want.
Well, it's good, because it's what you're gonna fucking get. Happy great birthday.
Thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Lucky Dice Kirby. You can find the podcast at, Drunken Whalers. Sorry, my brain... I was doing that thing where you, like, look up to remember something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Billy Lurk did nothing wrong.
Well, that's true.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, goodbye for... I wish forever, because I don't want to read The Veiled Terror, but...
All right. Well, after that...
Like, we want 2 more episodes and then we'll be done?
I guess.
Great. That's depressing.
We can do something else. We can talk about it.
All right. We'll talk. We'll let the people know.
Yeah, because we kind of did all the games. We buried that lead, but we did all the games.
We did do all the games. We buried the lead. Whatever. We're not going to talk about it the last 2 minutes.
Whatever. Anyway, bye.